Do not attempt to remove blade while lawnmower is running or plugged into an outlet. Chainsaw, do not attempt to stop chain with your hands. These are actual warnings that are on these products. In California, it's a description for a hose may cause cancer in California. Christmas lights for indoor or outdoor use only. Bic lighter, ignite lighter away from face. A floodlight. This floodlight is capable of illuminating large areas, even in the dark. Go figure. This is from a fire extinguisher. Non-flammable. Are you okay? This is for Energizer AAA 4-pack. If swallowed, promptly see a doctor. This is for a mattress. Warning, do not attempt to swallow. Blockbuster gift card to open. Number one, tear off perforated sides, A and B. Two, pull off at arrow. They had to tell you how to open up a gift card. Matches. Contents may catch fire. All right, anyways, this morning as Brother Mark was preaching, and I told him later on that he preached part of the message that I have. And a lot of times people say, well, why didn't you just change your message and preach something else? Well, I've had this message for a while, and I, as preacher always says, two's the number of witness. So I believe that God wants us to hear the message is a little bit different than what Brother Mark preached. Now, I gave everybody a penny for coming back to church tonight. So you got paid because you returned to church. I was going to give everybody a dollar, but that's just too much money for me. So I had pennies laying around, so you got a penny. But what does it say on the penny? And I know it's very hard to see because I have to hold it like this to see it now because I'm old. It says, in God we trust. That's what our money says, in God we trust. We pledge allegiance to the flag. And at the end we say, one nation under God. We sing the song, America the Beautiful. And it talks about God, how he's blessed America and all those things. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about is, who is the God that we're trusting in? The God of America. Who is that God? Are we trusting in the God of the Bible? Or are we trusting in the God that we've made up in our mind? And you say, well, what do you mean we made up a God in our mind? We have this idea of who God is. The God that we think he is he the God that's in the Bible? Is it the same God? You say, well, of course it is. Well, we're going to look at some scriptures and see, is the God that we worship, the God that we pray to, the God that protects us, the God that watches over us, the God that we trust in, is he the God of the Bible, or is it the God that we pray to and we think about, is he the God that we have in our mind of who he is? Because there's a lot of people that have this image of God, of who God is, but they really don't know. They don't know. People have an image of who I am because you see me and you know a little bit about me, but you don't know everything about me, so you have an idea. We have ideas in our head about who somebody is, but we really don't know them until we really get to know them, if that makes any sense. That's pretty cool. But the God of the Bible, is that the God that we're trusting in? Our money says it, in God we trust. We, as Christians, we say that we believe in God and we trust God. We trust God, as Darlene was saying, God's in control. God's in charge of everything. That's what she's telling Brother Mike. And I like her saying that. She says, tie a knot and hang on. Tie a knot and hang on, because God's in control. But you just have to hang on. I think that's a pretty cool saying. But I don't think that the God that America looks at is the actual God of the Bible. I think that we've made up a God. Parts of God are there. The parts that we want, you know, the parts that we like of God. You say, well, how could you not like parts of God? Just like as a kid doesn't like all parts of his parents. You know, I never liked all parts of my dad. I love my dad, but there was parts of him I didn't really enjoy. And if you'd be honest, there was parts of your dad you didn't enjoy either. But that's the parts that we don't want to look at. It's preached all over the country, you know, God is a loving God, and he is a loving God. God is a merciful God, and he is a merciful God. God is, and you know, the biggest thing now today, and like he was saying earlier, Joel Osteen, God is love. God loves you, and he does love you. He sent a son. Turn to I'm kind of getting out of order and getting ahead of myself. Turn to Malachi 3:6. And we'll start there. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach your word, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to stand in this pulpit, Lord, and I just pray that you'll speak through me. Or help me tonight as I preach your word and show scriptures in your Bible, Lord, that you'll speak to the hearts of the people, Lord. Help me to be an encouragement to them. Help me to show them something. Or help me to just do what you'd have me to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The Bible says, "I am the Lord, I change not." God has never changed. From the time that God has always been around, God has never changed who he is. But we have changed who God is. America and Christians, and even Christians change who God is. Even and I'm not saying I'm any better, but even I think of God in a certain way. We all think of God. We all have our own perception of who God is and what he is and how. And we always like to think of, well, this is why God does this. This is why God allows that. But we don't really know. But we have an idea of, in our own mind, of who God is. Now, if you look at the Bible says in a commandment, you should have no other God but him. But when you make up your own God, you're having another God besides God. I know that may sound confusing because you think it's the same God, but it's really not the same God. And as Brother Mark preached earlier today, where is America at? And look at all the trouble we're in. And the trouble we're in is because we don't look at all aspects of God. We just look at things that we like. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "He is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And he is all of those things. He is wonderful. He is a Counselor. He is a Prince of Peace. People say God is a God of second chances. God is a God of new beginnings. God answers prayer. God is a merciful God. And he is all of those things. God hears your prayers and he answers your prayers. God is merciful. God is a God of new beginnings. Because when you get saved, you get a new beginning. And hopefully everybody in here is saved and you've got a new beginning. So God is all those things. But the problem with us today, and this has been going on for a long time, is we don't fear God. But God is a God to be feared. But we don't fear God. Our image of God is, you know what? God's up there looking out after me. God's going to take care of me no matter what I do. God's happy with me because he loves me. God's a happy-go-lucky God. And wouldn't that be great if God was a happy-go-lucky God? Because then we could do whatever we wanted, and it really wouldn't matter. That'd be like you if you're a happy-go-lucky dad. If my kids did whatever they wanted to do, and I didn't really care, oh, yeah, that's fine. You can do whatever you want to do, but that's not how it is. And God is our Father. God chases us, and God looks at us. God doesn't want us to sin. God doesn't want us to do wrong. But in America, we think, you know what? God loves me. God really doesn't care what I do. As long as I'm a saved person, it doesn't matter what I do. God sent his son to die for your sins. He doesn't want you to go back into sin. And that's what's wrong with America today. We're in so much sin, but we have no fear of God, that we don't think anything God's going to do anything to us. And Christians are just as bad as the world. The world doesn't care anything about God. Right. And they don't even think about God judging them because they have no idea what that means, because they're lost. And that's what they do. They sin. They're sinners. We're all sinners, but at least we know different. We've asked Christ to save us from our sins and forgive us to take us to heaven. Now, we shouldn't go back into sin, because that's what the Bible says. When you do that, you're basically, and as I told the kids, you're spitting in the face of Christ. I know I've asked you to save me from my sins, take me to heaven, but I'm going to go back and sin no matter what. Because what are you going to do to me? I'm going to heaven. You say, well, they shouldn't have that attitude. But people have that attitude. People have an attitude is, I'm a safe person. Now I can do whatever I want because it really doesn't matter. I'm going to go to heaven no matter what. So I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. And if I sin, I sin. Who really cares? We're going to look at some scripture. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. James 2:19 says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Do we look at God and do we ever tremble when we think of God? Do we ever get worried if things I'm doing wrong, does it ever bother us enough to say, you know what, I hope God doesn't really judge me for that, or I'm afraid to do this because God doesn't want me to. We're not afraid of God at all. I don't think most people in here are afraid of God. To be honest with you, I myself don't think I'm afraid of God. And if you'd be honest with yourself, most of you aren't afraid of God either. Because God doesn't do what he did in the Old Testament. He doesn't kill you right away when you do something wrong. He doesn't smite you. He hasn't destroyed half of the planet. He hasn't destroyed nation after nation after nation because of their sin. So we think God, God's a loving God. God's going to care for all of us. God wants us all to be saved. And he does. But the Bible says, and Mark read this earlier, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, which is what he said today, we can pray and we can seek God all we want. But if we don't turn from our wicked ways, it really doesn't matter what we pray about. And you say, well, how could you say that? God hears our prayers. God does hear your prayer. But like I always tell the kids, you think your parents are going to give you something when you're doing wrong? Do you think God's going to answer your prayer when you're sinning? You think God's going to answer your prayer as you're drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette right before you prayed? Or you turned off the pornography set? Or you whatever you did, that you stopped doing it? Oh, I got to go pray now, so I'm going to click off the computer with the pornography I was watching. And then you go pray. Or you're going to go, and this is what always gets me, is Christians think there's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol. And there's churches after churches after churches that they have get-togethers and they drink alcohol there. What's the big deal? The Bible says that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. God said you're not supposed to drink alcohol. And you can say, well, it doesn't say that I can't drink beer. That just talks about wine. So I don't drink wine, I drink beer. It is the same, but people say, but it doesn't say that there. So I don't have to worry about it. People say, who cares if I smoke marijuana? God made it. It's a natural plant. So I can smoke it. And I've had people tell me that. Christian people. Well, I can smoke marijuana because it's natural. God made that. Why can't I smoke it? Because it's wrong. Because it's illegal, for one. You're supposed to obey the laws, but it you're not supposed to defile your temple, which is what God lives in, and you're defiling your temple when you get high. But people don't care. They're not afraid of God. They're not afraid of what God's going to do. People will listen to whatever they want to listen to, watch what they want to watch, dress the way they want to dress, and there's no consequences to what we do because God's a happy-go-lucky God. But that's not the God that the Bible talks about. The God the Bible talks about looks down on sin. He doesn't like sin. It angers him. Yes. The reason a lot of this got brought up is because we went to the fair the other day, and as we were walking through the fair, these three young ladies and this thing, because I can't call it a man or a woman, a girl or a boy, this thing came walking through with short pink shorts on, a shirt tied up here, you know, girls tie their shirts up here, a t-shirt, with pink hair. But it was a guy. It was a teenage boy walking around with these other three girls all dressed the same, skipping around. And you can ask Brother Bill, he was there. people were looking at him like, wow. And I was looking at him like, that's just totally disgusting. But we're told today that we're supposed to accept that. We're supposed to be tolerant. As Christians, we're supposed to tolerate what other people do. Because God loves everybody. God does love everybody, but God does not love their sin. And that is a sin. But to me, that was just how blatant of a thing to go to. I mean, I grew up in an age where they stayed in the closet. I grew up where they got beat up. You can say, well, that's wrong. You shouldn't beat them up. But that's the way it was. And I was waiting for someone to come running through and just go, bam! Amen. And I would have went, yes! Like it or not, that's the way I would have been. Because I really wanted to do that myself. And I wanted to find her, that its parents, and say, what are you doing? Well, I don't get it. I mean, when they first walked by, I'm looking, I'm like, that does not look like a girl. And then I told Autumn, I said, no, that's a boy. And she went, because she couldn't tell because its legs were shaved. I mean, it was trying to be a girl. I mean, the shorts were like this big. Which girls shouldn't wear those kind of shorts anyways, but a boy trying to be a girl really looks bad. Amen. But that's the society we live in today, that sin is just out there everywhere. And we don't care. And the problem is, Christians don't care. Now, we sit in here and we go, oh, that's terrible. But how much do we really care? Right. And as a fellow, when I was talking about in Sunday school, I was talking to him too, and I was saying something to him. He goes, you know what? I don't have time for that. I really don't care. It doesn't affect my life. And that's how Christians are today. If it doesn't affect us where we're at, in our home, in our little circle, we don't care. We don't care what happens out there. New York City just passed same-sex marriage. It's legal in New York City. Where were all the people protesting? Where were all the pastors and preachers saying that's wrong, that's a sin? Where were they at?
That's right.
I read in the paper there was only two preachers that even wrote in and said anything about it. Because we don't care.
Right.
We don't care here because that's in New York. There's six states that have that now, same-sex marriage. We don't care because it doesn't affect us. I don't care because my kids aren't gay. They're not going to marry anybody gay, so what do I care? Most Christian people that I know, they're not that way, so it really doesn't affect us. But it does affect us overall. It does affect our country. And until we stand up and say that it's wrong and stop being afraid to preach against homosexuality, preach against alcohol, preach against pornography, because we don't want to run anybody out of church. You know why we don't want to run anybody out of church? Because of money. Because if I say that you shouldn't drink alcohol, most people, well, I'm leaving that. You can't be gay, that's wrong, that's a sin. Well, I'm leaving that. I'm not going to stay in a church that preaches against that, because God is a loving God. God is tolerant. God is tolerant. God is merciful because he tolerates us and the sin that we do. But God does not like sin. God looks at sin and is disgusted by it. God sent his son to the cross to die for sin. And he judged his son. Because Christ took all the sin in his body. And God forsook his son because of that sin. He turned his back on Christ. Not because of Christ, but because of the sin. So don't say that God doesn't care if we sin or not. God does care if we sin. God hates our sin. God wants us to turn away from sin. God wants us to repent. When you repent, repent means you're turning away from whatever you're doing. When you get saved, you're supposed to repent of your sins. The problem is, too many people get saved and then go right back to their sin. Because it's never preached about. This church preaches about it. This church preaches against sin. But most churches don't. Across America, even fundamental Baptist churches, they don't preach against it because they say, you know what? I can't preach against that because I might offend my people. And I really can't afford to do that because if some of those people leave, where's the money going to come from? The money comes from God anyways. God wants you to preach his word. And I don't worry about preaching what I preach because I know preacher preaches against all that stuff. That's what I love about him. He don't care. Like he said, if everybody leaves and there's only one person sitting here, I'm going to preach what God says.
Amen.
And in case you don't know, homosexuality is an abomination still.
Yeah.
It was way back then. It still is today.
Yeah.
And you tell people that and that man says, well, I believe God made people that way. I said, no, he didn't. I said, they chose to go into homosexuality. Well, I don't believe that. I said, well, God didn't make them that way, because there's people that have come out of that. So if God made them that way, then they would still be in it. But if you read the Bible at all, you know that it's an abomination to God. And as Brother Mark preached today, and I have the same statistics, and I'm getting way out of order in my message, but that's okay. And I looked up abortions. In case you don't know, too, which I'm sure all of you do, abortion is murder. Because a baby is alive from the time of conception. But God knew the baby before it was even born. God knew the baby before it was formed into the womb. The Bible says that I knew you before you were formed. So before the baby's even conceived, it was God's creation. God knew what that was going to be. God knew me before I was in my mother's belly. God knew all these babies. But we kill them day after day after day after day with no qualms. Because you cannot take away a woman's rights. Who are you to tell a woman that she can't kill a baby? Well, you know what? Then just kill your child. Like he said, they're doing it now anyways. I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to get rid of it. But if you do that, you go to jail. But if you kill the baby before it comes out, it's okay. 3,700 abortions a day in America. That's just in America. And the statistic I got was 53,310,843,000 abortions since 1973. Since they passed a law that it's okay to have an abortion. It's okay to kill your baby. It's okay to go out and have sex, and then when you get pregnant, decide, you know what, I don't want the baby. Because really, that's really the reason people get abortions. Because they had sex out of wedlock, and now they got to do something about it because I can't have a child. I'm not married. Well, let's have an abortion. It's no big deal. And they don't even think anything about it. Alcohol sales in America, $115.9 billion per year in America. That's the alcohol sales in America. $115 billion. To me, that's a lot of money. I can't even imagine $1 billion, but $115 billion per year. Pornography, and this is really hard for me to read, just so you know, I'm getting old, so it might take me a minute. The internet accounted for $2.5 billion of the adult industry's $14 billion in U.S. revenue. $14 billion a year is what pornography makes in the United States. $2.5 billion just from the internet. Now, I didn't get to stick, he did about 4.2 million websites that are just for pornography on the internet. It says 70% of 18 to 24-year-old men visit pornography sites in a typical month. 66% of men in their 20s and 30s also report being regular users of pornography. That's a lot of people. That's 7 out of 10. So that means probably somebody here doing it too. Because usually if it's in the world, it's in the church house too. But we're not going to preach against that because I might offend some people. Pornography is a problem that we have. Revenue for pornography, it says, porn revenue exceeds the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC put together. That's how much money pornography makes. Pornography makes more than all the pro sports combined. Pornography makes more money than them. Do we care? How many of you speak out against pornography? How many of you care about it because you don't do it, so what do I care? I care about it because my kids get on the computer. No, I don't. We don't let them get on a computer and do whatever they want to do. But when you punch something in on the computer, if you punch something in the wrong way, some nasty things come up. And it only takes one glimpse of pornography for someone to get addicted to it. Because it's a proven fact that it does something with the chemical in your brain, and preacher has that book, and he read it. It does something in your brain that it gets you hooked onto pornography. So it only takes a small picture of someone looking at it to get hooked on it. So if your child or you yourself are looking at it, you may get addicted to it like that. Just like alcohol, it only takes one drink for someone to become addicted. People don't set out to become alcoholics. People don't set out to become drug addicts. They don't sit down one day and say, you know what? I'm going to go have me a beer and I'm going to become an alcoholic. Well, I'm going to smoke this marijuana, and then I'm going to do cocaine, and then I'm going to do crack, and then I'm going to cook methamphetamine, and then I'm going to do all those things, and then I'm going to stop. You start out doing one little thing. You start out doing one little sin, and then you get addicted to it. Pornography is that way. But does anybody preach against pornography? Not really. Does anybody preach against alcohol and drugs? Not really. What do people preach? God loves you. God does love you, but God does not want you to sin. God wants you to stay away from sin. God wants us to keep ourselves clean and live a holy life. And we are sinners, so we're going to sin. But we need to be fearful of sinning. Because the Bible says, and we're going to read some scriptures, God chastens his children. People don't think God does anything to you when you sin, but God does chasten you. Because people say, now a preacher said, God looks at me as though I've never sinned. All my sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. So how could God look at my sin if they're all forgotten about? Your sins are forgotten about for your salvation. But when God looks at you sinning, God is not going to turn a blind eye and say, yeah, it's okay. And I'm going to use Colton as an example because I do it in teen class. Colton goes home and dresses up as a girl. Very tall girl. But if Colton would do that, God's not going to just say, it's okay, because Colton's a Christian and I can't look at him because he's never sinned. God doesn't do that. God looks at Colton and says, what in the world is he doing? I'm going to have to do something to him to get him to turn around. Just like if my son, if I found him wearing a dress at home, I would have to do something about that to get him to turn back to God. And that would be chasing him in some way. God does that to us because we are his children. God doesn't just look at us blindly and say, it's okay. You can do what you want to do. It's fine. Because I'm a happy-go-lucky God. God's not like that. But we're not fearful of that. We're not fearful of, is God going to do anything to us? God won't do anything to us. That's America's thought, because it's not even preached about that you should stop sinning. Because if you go to other churches, they don't preach against sin. All they preach is God loves you, which he does. God sent his son to die for your sins. It's okay. Anything you do after that is fine. The Bible says, blessed is a nation whose God is Lord. That's why God blessed America, because our nation was founded on serving Christ, based on serving God. We came to America because we wanted religious freedom. All the forefathers, they trusted in God. They believed in God. They were fearful of God. They were afraid of, if they did wrong, God was going to do something to them. But where have we gone since then? Why is America like it is? Now, I can't prove to you that the things that happen in this world are God's judgment, because I'm not talking to God. He's not telling me, hey, Bob, this is what I did to judge them or turn them back. But I believe the things that happen in America, God is trying to tell us, you need to turn your way back to God. You need to get away from your sin. You need to turn yourself around. You need to repent of your sins and serve me and fear me. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and like I said in Sunday school, I want to show you in the Bible so you don't think I'm just saying these things. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So God is going to judge his people. Are you his people? Are you a saved person? Then you're God's people. God is going to judge his people. God's not going to turn a blind eye to it. If you look at 10:26 of Hebrews. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. To me, that's telling you should be afraid of God when you sin. There's no more sacrifices for your sin. Once you've accepted Christ and you know that, that's what it says, there are no more sacrifices of what you're doing. Christ has already taken care of that. So what do you got to look forward to after that? But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. God is going to judge you when you're sinning. God is going to chasten you. Because it says, the Bible says God chastens his children. God is looking at us as Christians because the world's going to sin because they're sinners. God can't spank them as his children because they're not his children. But God looks at us and says, you need to be a light. You need to do right. You need to be the one that set an example. You need to care. The Bible says eschew evil. That means we're supposed to stay away from sin. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All through the Bible talks about being holy and living a righteous life and not sinning. But we don't ever look at those parts of the Bible. We don't ever look at God as God being a judgeful God and God looking at me and being mad at me. Because God loves me. God wouldn't be mad at me because he loves me. Well, I love my kids, but I get mad at my kids. When they do wrong, I get mad. And sometimes I raise my voice and I scare my wife. Because when I yell, I usually don't yell. I'm usually a pretty calm person, easygoing. But when I get mad and I yell, everybody in the house gets scared. That's right. That's what they say too. Wow. Can't believe you yelled. But I had to get mad at my kids, but I love my kids, but I still get mad at them. God's the same way. God gets angry at us. God doesn't look at us and say, it's okay. I love you. Like Joel Osteen preaches. It's okay. God loves you. It's okay. I love you. No, God says, hey, what are you doing? Get away from the alcohol. Turn off the pornography. And pornography isn't just hardcore pornography. Pornography is naked women that you look at, and it's all over the place. Yeah. You can't even go to the store without looking at it. Right. You go to the store, and there's all these magazines. What are all the magazines? It's all these women that are half naked on there. Right. That's pornography. Yep. They're trying to get you addicted so you want to look at even less clothing than you've seen on the magazine. They're wanting you to buy that magazine so you can look through it. How many people do that? How many of you have done that? Don't raise your hand. But it's pornography. Pornography is rampant in the United States. So is abortion. So is alcoholism. They don't give you any statistics for drugs, how much money that makes, because they don't have any idea. But I'm sure that's way more than the alcohol. Because drugs are rampant. Drugs are all over the place. You can get drugs anywhere. You can get drugs at the high school, whatever you want. And I know because I know people that sell them. They're out there. You can get them. Do we ever worry about that? The sad thing is Christians are doing it too because we don't have a fear of God. That's what's wrong with America today is we don't fear God. America has no fear. As Brother Mark was saying, what is it going to take for America to go back to serving God? I don't know. God has been sending his judgments on us. God has been trying to get us to turn back to him. I believe 9/11 was a judgment of God. I believe God was sent those things. He allowed that to happen. Now, God didn't purposely go kill 3,000 people, because that's when it says, well, God wouldn't do that. But I believe God allowed that to turn back America to him. And we did for a while. People remember 9/11. They were upset about it, and we were worried about it, and they turned back to God. And 2 weeks later, I don't care. And I seen someone had a shirt. It says, it's not that I don't remember. I just don't care. Someone had a shirt on. That was at the same fair, by the way. And it wasn't the freaky kid. But there was a shirt that said, it said that, and I thought, well, that's pretty sad, but that is the way we are. Yep. I mean, it wasn't too long after 9/11 happened that we totally forgot about it. We don't care, because it doesn't affect our life. But you got to understand, it affects these teenagers' lives of what's going on today. It affects our life, because we live in America, and God is judging America. Now, I said this to some men earlier, I believe that if it wasn't for the saved people, God would just wipe out America. And I was telling Brother Coolidge and Mr. Weiss, now Moses back in Sodom and Gomorrah, he pleaded with God. Because God said, okay, Moses, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. But not Moses, Abraham. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get rid of everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses says, wait a minute, wait. But what if there's 50 righteous people there? What if there's 40? And he went all the way down to 10. 10 righteous people, and I won't destroy it. Well, you know the story. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin was wicked. And what was that sin, by the way? Homosexuality. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And through the Bible, God rid the land, and as preacher preached before, God rid the land of homosexuals. He killed them all. God killed all the inhabitants before Israel went in that were doing things that were wicked and evil. God wiped out that whole all those people, because God didn't want his people to be around that sin, no matter what sin it was. I believe Moses, or not Moses, I'm sorry, Abraham is in heaven saying, Lord, don't destroy America. Those people of Bethel are trying. They're going out in their soul winning. Don't destroy him yet. No, I can't prove that, obviously, because I'm not up there with Abraham, but I think one of these days God's going to get tired of him and say, you know what, I have enough. The rapture's going to happen because of our sin. It's not just a sin of lost people. It's a sin of Christian people. Because if you look at your own life, and this is what you got to do, you got to look at yourself. Don't look at other people and say, well, I know that that person's sinning. I know that Colton dresses up like a girl. Now he doesn't, I'm just saying that. Sorry, Colton, but you're going to be the boy that dresses up as a girl. But people look at other people and they say, well, I know that they're sinning. But we never look at ourselves. We never look at us and say, well, what am I doing wrong that I shouldn't be doing, that God is not happy with? And I'm including myself. I have to look at myself and say, what am I doing that God's not happy with? What am I doing that I shouldn't be doing because God's going to be mad at me? Because God is, as I always tell the kids, God sees everything we do. God's always watching. We can't hide it. You can't sit in your room by yourself on the computer or on your cell phone looking at pornography and say, well, no one can see me. Well, God can see you. So you're not getting away with nothing. You're just deceiving yourselves. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that so he shall also reap. God's not mocked. You can't say, well, God didn't see me, so I'm good. Nope. So if you're, and that is telling you that God is going to judge you. So for whatever you soweth, that's what you're going to reap too. So if you're doing wrong, something bad is going to happen to you. Turn to Isaiah 59. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So that means God can hear your prayers. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So when you're sinning and then you go and pray, is God hearing your prayers? Not according to the Bible. Not according to who that God is, but the God that we think is, God, we think God hears us no matter what. That we can do whatever we want to do, and God's going to answer our prayers, and God's going to hear us. And I don't know. According to this, God doesn't hear your prayers. He turns his face from you because he doesn't want to look at you. He's disgusted with your sin. Now you can say, well, I don't believe that. Well, believe it or not, that's what the Bible says. If you turn to Romans 3:18, sorry if you don't like turning in your Bible, but Romans 3:18 is really where we're at in America. And as Christians, this is where we are today. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We have no fear of God. And that's what that verse is telling you. And if you really look at people and you talk to people, they're not afraid of what they do. They're not afraid God's going to do anything to them. If you never punished your kids, will your kids ever be afraid that they're going to do anything to you? No, but if you punish them, then they're afraid. But see, God punishes us, but we don't see it that way. All that just circumstances that happened. That flood that happened, that was just because it rained too much. Well, who causes it to rain? God. Well, you know what? All those forest fires out there, that's just because someone lit a match and the whole forest caught on fire. That's not God's judgment. That's not God trying to get us back to him. That's not having any fear of God because we don't see it as fear. We see that as just incidental things that happen. That's the God that we in America trust. The God that doesn't do anything to us. The God that loves us no matter what. The happy-go-lucky God. Because really, that is the God that we look to. The happy-go-lucky God. I don't want to look at God that I should be afraid of. Because people say, well, you shouldn't be afraid of God. The Bible tells you all through it to fear God. Jeremiah chapter 5. Now, I liken Jeremiah what they're going through there to America. And you can agree with it or disagree with it, but Jeremiah chapter 5. And I'm going to try to read slow, Brother Carl, because he told me I read too fast. It says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. You could say through the streets of America. And see now and know and seek ye in the broad places thereof. If you can find a man, if there be any that executed judgment and seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. Surely we believe in God, we trust in God. That's what our money says, we trust in God. But they don't trust in the God of the Bible. It says, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have not. But they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock, and they have refused to return. That's a perfect example of 9/11. You've stricken them, but they refuse to hear. Now I turn over to Jeremiah 6. Verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Hopefully it's to Christians. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. How many people delight coming to church? If you look around, you can see. Not as many as are here this morning. Do they really delight in coming to church? Some people don't want to come to church because they don't want to get preached to. They don't want to hear that they're doing wrong. It's God's word is a reproach to them. That's what it's saying. Therefore, I am full of fury. I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband and the wife shall be taken and aged with them that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even to the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not ashamed, not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall, and at the time that I visit them they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Are we ashamed in America of our sin? That boy that was running around in short shorts, he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't blushing. He was proud. Are we ashamed of pornography in America? No, because there's 4.2 million websites that you can click onto. There's all kinds of magazines that you can buy. We're not ashamed of that. We don't blush at that. We don't even. There's naked people all over the place. We don't care. We're not ashamed of that. We don't even blush. Alcohol sales, $115 billion. Are we ashamed of the alcoholism in America? No, we have commercials saying it's cool to drink. Yeah. Drinking is fun. Let's all have a party and get a 12-pack of Busch or Coors Light or whatever it is. Someone asked me, I seen something the other day, I haven't seen it for a while. He said, hey, you still drink? I said, nope. Why not? What happened? I said, well, I got saved. I started going to church. I don't do that stuff anymore. Amen. I'm the youth pastor, and he said, oh. He said, we'll stop over anyways. Because he still drinks. But that's okay. He's a lost person. He doesn't know any better. But we don't blush it. We don't blush at alcohol. We don't think it's a bad thing. We sell alcohol everywhere. Yes. I mean, we. Now, after the seventh inning, we don't sell it. So we do control our alcoholism. You can get drunk for 7 innings. Yes. Then in 2 innings, you have to sober up so you can drive home. Now, I don't know about you, but if you drink for 7 innings, it's going to take more than 2 innings for you to sober up to drive home. Amen. People get arrested for DUI. Now, we have this thing that they have, we call them party plates. Does anybody know what a party plate is? It's that yellow plate that you get because you got busted for DUIs. So we have this game. We go, oh, there's a party plate. Oh, there's a party plate. Now, you would think the people that had the party plates would be blushing and ashamed of having party plates, but I really don't think they are. Oh, well, I got busted. Oh, well, big deal. What's that? Yeah, exactly. We're not ashamed of it. We're not ashamed of any. We're not ashamed of abortions. If we were, we would have reversed Roe versus Wade, right? Yes. We would have changed something. But we're not ashamed of that. You can If you're a kid, a teenage kid that gets pregnant and you want to have an abortion, you can go to Planned Parenthood and you can get an abortion without your parents' permission, without their consent. That's wrong. Are we ashamed of abortions? Nope. How many clinics do we have? I'd like to know how much money revenue is produced through abortions. We're not ashamed of it. They talk about it on Capitol Hill. Well, we can have partial birth abortions. We can have that in there. And that's a disgusting thing because I seen that years ago and they showed an actual what they did. And that's a horrific thing in itself. They take the, and I'm going to tell you, and whether you like it or not, it's okay. They take the baby. They turn the baby so it comes out feet first. Because if it comes out feet first, it's not alive yet. Then they take a pair of scissors and they jam it into the baby's skull and deflate its skull and kill it. Then they can take it out because now it's not alive, so it's not murder. It can come out feet first. If it comes out head first, then you can't kill it. But if it comes out feet first, it's not a live baby yet, even though it's kicking. Because they showed it on TV. They actually showed, because I was watching the thing on C-SPAN, and they actually showed that. So that was what they're trying to ban. At least they're trying to ban something. But you know what? Women say, it's my right to kill a baby. So they're not ashamed of it either. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and seek and ask for the old paths, where is a good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. It's a different generation, which I just found out today. I'm a generation older than Jordan. He pointed that out to me. Thank you for that. But we don't want to go back to the old paths. Man, I don't want to be old-fashioned. That's living like cavemen. That's like living like Fred Flintstone back then. But that's when America had morals. That's when America had values. That's when we cared about life and we cared about not doing wrong. They actually banned alcohol. Can you imagine them banning alcohol today? $115 billion of revenue in America would be banned. There's no way they're going to ban alcohol. But they banned alcohol back then. Women actually clothed themselves. They didn't run around naked. They didn't have all these magazines. They didn't have everything on TV where you have all these naked women and these even naked men all over the place. But are we ashamed of that? Nope. Also, I set a watchman over you saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But this is America, but they said, we will not hearken. Even churches that preach against sin and preach that we should turn back to our back and repent of sin, most of the people here don't listen. Most of the people that sit in a congregation, when you start talking about sin, they turn you off. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that they might be doing something wrong. They don't want to hear that if you go gambling, that's wrong. But gambling is a sin. Say, well, show me in the Bible where it says you can't gamble. Gambling is a sin. Gambling destroys lives. They finally passed casinos in Ohio. Woohoo! Ohio's going to turn around now. Because casinos are going to save us. That's what everybody says. But we don't hearken. We don't hearken to the God's word. We don't hearken to the preaching. We don't hearken when we're told not to sin. We say, no, I don't want to hear that. I'm not going back to that church. I know people that would come to church. Preacher would be preaching. And they sit like this during the invitation. Sweating. Just can't wait. The invitation's over. Then it was over. Man, he was preaching right at me. How do you know I was coming? Then they don't come back. I'm not going back there. I'm not going to go back to that church because I don't feel comfortable there. I don't feel comfortable there. I want to go to a place where I can be happy. I can be happy-go-lucky. That's what we want as Christians. That's what the world wants, and that's what we think God is. God's a happy-go-lucky God. If my people shall... which my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek and turn from their wicked ways, what did God say he'll do? He said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Only till America turns away from its sin, and it's got to start with Christians. It's got to start with us turning from our sin, because how many people see Christians drinking in a bar? How many see Christians talking about pornography and telling dirty jokes and doing all those things? And I'm like, When I used to work in a union, you would go into the Port-a-John, and as preacher saying, there's a picture of a naked lady, because those guys like putting those pictures up. I would go into the Port-a-John, and I would take it, and I'd throw it in the Port-a-John. People probably got mad, but I don't want to stare at that stuff. Amen. You know, and you can't go in there, and you know, you got to look at it because it's there. So I take it and I throw it away. But when are we going to stand up and say that's wrong to be drinking? That's wrong to do drugs. That's wrong for pornography. That's wrong to be gay. Yes. The sad thing is we have gay Christians. Because there was a big article in the paper that there's a gay Christian group. What was that article? Was that the article you're reading? Was it? There's this big article about gay Christian singers and gay Christian groups, and so that is telling everybody, all the worldly people, well, see, it's okay to be gay. They're Christians too. We have churches that are marrying gay people. People don't look at Christianity and fundamental Baptists separate from everybody else. We're all under the same umbrella of Christianity. So when one group does it, we don't speak out against it. We're lumped in with that group. That's why America is in the shape it's in today, because churches will say, if you're gay, that's okay, come and I'll marry you. We're not going to do that in this church. Now, if you're gay, you can come in the doors. Well, we're going to preach against your sin. We're going to hope that you get saved and you turn and repent from your wicked ways, yeah, because we still love you as a soul, but we don't love your sin. Yeah. And that's the way we should be. We should speak up. Amen. As Christian people, we should say, you know, that's wrong. It's wrong to be gay. Now, I'm not saying you should go punch somebody out that's running around in pink shorts, although I wanted to. And I really wanted to say something like, what is wrong with you? I didn't. My wife probably would have killed me if I did. But are we gonna do anything about it? Do we write our congressmen? Do we write our senators? Do we say anything to anybody about it? No, you know what we do? Well, what do I care? It doesn't affect me. I go to a good church. I got a job. I got a great family. Why should I say anything? Why should I bother? Because if we don't bother, where's it going to go? One last thing. In California, in the public school system, they're teaching kids, and I think the book is called My Princess Boy, they're teaching kids that you can choose your gender. In a California public school system, that's what they're teaching. That you're not born a boy or a girl, you have the right to choose. Where are all the Christian people standing up and speaking out against that before it even got put in there? We're to be tolerant. We're too tolerant as Christians. That's right. God tolerates America. I don't know why. I don't know why God hasn't judged us and why God hasn't taken us out. But God has judged America. God, if you look at where we're at today, we're not the same America we were back then. We're not the same prosperous America. We don't have, like Brother Mark was saying, all these jobs have left. Why is that? Because God allowed them to leave. God's not keeping it here because we're not doing what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're not trusting in Him, the God of the Bible. We're trusting in the God that we made up in our own minds, the God that doesn't care what we do. God does care what you do. God does care when you're in sin. Now, you're not being judged for your sin for salvation, because you're going to go to heaven because you've accepted Christ. He forgives you of your sins, but God is going to judge you for what you're doing, and He's going to chasten you, He's going to spank you, and He's going to tell you you're doing wrong. But are we listening? No, because we don't want to listen to that God. That's not our God. Our God doesn't care what I do. Our God is the happy-go-lucky God. Think about it think to yourself. Who is the God? What is the God that I perceive? Who is the God that I'm thinking of? Is it the God of the Bible, or is it the God that I made up in my mind? And that's what when I thought about that. Who is the God? Who do I perceive as God? That's what you got to look at, because there's only one God, and that's the God of this book. And until you get in this book and really know who God is, it's just a God that you made up. He's a false God, the one that you trust in. And the Bible says, have no other gods but me. That's what God said. That's one of the commandments. So are you trusting in this God that's of the Bible, or are you trusting in the God that's in your mind? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord, and I do thank you for the people that are here, Lord, that came back to church, Lord, to hear your word preached, Lord, and I just pray you'll be with them, Lord. I pray that something sunk in tonight, Lord, and that you spoke to their hearts, Lord, and I just pray you'll continue to work in their heart even the rest of this week, Lord. I pray that you'll be with Mr. Sells as he's still in the hospital, Lord, and I pray that you'll heal him up. Lord, I pray you'll be with Mrs. Nutter and Mrs. McDaniels as they're mourning the death of their brother, Lord. I just pray you'll be with them tomorrow during the funeral. Lord, I pray you'll be with us tonight. Help us have a good night tonight, Lord. Be with Preacher and Dave as they come back tonight. Give them traveling mercies. Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.